Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprint, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour. We've got a great guest for you tonight, and we're going to get deeply into some topics that are going to explain why everything is so crazy around the world these days. Here we are, August the 11th on the West Coast, now August the 12th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone, as well as all the way across the Atlantic Ocean into Europe, Asia, Australia, New Zealand. We're in South America. We could say all over Latin America, for that matter. And Greece, Spain, Ireland, England, Wales, Scotland, Sweden, and points beyond. It's so nice to have everyone join us tonight, as well as if you're listening to this on a later archive. Especially, we want to welcome all the people in the U.S. military who may be listening in tonight. We've had an exciting, 24 hours, I would say. We had Dr. A. Truat on last night, and we talked about many, many things regarding the flu pandemic, and the true story behind that. We've been able to connect some dots with some recent research that I did, exposing the fact that one of the lawsuit participants in the birth certificate scandal happens to be related to someone who works side by side with Novartis, the patent holder of the what we'll just call it, the pandemic flu vaccination. How's that? And lots of email, lots of chat messages. I understand people were on chat after the show last night for several hours talking about what they heard. And I also want to thank Drew Raines for covering that aspect of my show on his show today. And he hosts Marines Disquisition Monday through Friday on Blog Talk Radio and Wind Talkers Radio Network, and we want to welcome those folks listening on those two networks also, as well as our friends in Russia. Don't want to forget about you. We know many, many people are listening to the show there. Well, who's our guest tonight? Well, he has his own show on BBS Radio on Saturdays. His show is called Zero Point. He is a clinical and forensic psychologist, and he's also a mystic scientist, you could say metaphysical scientist in a sense. He's studied metaphysics, the metaphysics of creation, something I'm very interested in. I've talked about that on a few shows, fairly recently, in fact. And rather than just tell you all about him, I figured it'd be best to hear it straight from the horse's mouth, even though he's not a horse. My good friend, Christopher Holmes. Christopher, welcome back to Evident Footprints.
Yeah, thanks, Don, for having me back.
Oh, it's a pleasure. You've been through quite a bit lately. I don't know if you wish to share that with the audience, but you seem to be keeping high spirits in spite of what travails you've been through.
Yeah, I had, unfortunately, my house burned down, and I lost almost everything I own, except I saved my laptop computer, and that was what was most important to me. I have 6 books. I don't think I'd have the energy to rewrite them all.
Yes.
I've been put up in an apartment in Ottawa, I've been working quite a bit with the Canadian Action Party. I imagine you've heard of the party, helping to write policies, and we're going through a lot in terms of our leader resigned, and We had, you know, we wanted to come out with a major policy concerning enforced inoculations and demanding criminal investigation of the world elites and their eugenics plans. And I formulated a policy concerning those biological threats. And we kind of wanted to come out really publicly, especially in regards to the Native community, because I'm the Native chairperson for CAP, the Canadian Action Party. So we were, but our party actually was hijacked by people I think were intentional infiltrators and have kind of taken over the party, and we've been unable to modify our website for 6 months, and is an awful kind of difficult situation.
Mm-hmm. That seems to be going on a lot these days. We're finding it in national lawsuits that we actually have operatives filing suits against their benefactors.
Yeah,
it's really crazy. But we see through the illusion, and trust that when things take a turn like that, that they're probably about to take a turn for the better. And
well,
you're just getting rid of the extra baggage.
I mean, it looks so bad at the moment. Like this fact of the World Health Organization having the power to mandate these vaccinations in 160 countries and planning to vaccinate half the world's population. I mean, this is an insane plan. Like, these vaccinations can't possibly be adequately tested. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. How are they going to test them by giving them to subjects to see if it gives them immunity to the swine flu when the percent of the public who has the swine flu is like 0.001%. And they haven't done studies showing that these actually offer any protection to human beings over time, and they don't monitor any of the longer-term effects. I mean, it's absolutely criminal to think that that's scientific evidence for the safety of this vaccinations is terrible.
Yes, well, you bring up a good point. Someone has given them this power, and, of course, it's not the people who have done that. And there are those that would argue, well, the people don't have a right. They're just useless eaters. They're sheeple. They're consumers. They like to call us things like that. Or the goyim is another term they like to use. And I submit that they test these vaccines on themselves. And
themselves.
Oh yeah, test them on themselves, and let's give them 3 months to see how they do. And of course, we have to verify that these are the vaccines that they intend to give us.
Yeah,
and I'm still not taking one. So, you know,
yeah.
And I know quite a few people. In fact, I don't know anyone that's going to take one. So, I'm wondering where they get these numbers from. You know, this pandemic level 6. It sounds just like TSA, you know, with they have something like 6 levels of a terrorist attack threat,
yeah.
A terrorist threat, and they're the terrorists. There's no doubt about that. And they know we're those of us who say that are telling the truth. So it's crazy. It's a game. It's like charades, you know. Monopoly and charades and hook and ladders.
Yeah, it's a form of biological terrorism that's being threatened against the public. I mean, that absolutely is. You know, the chemtrails are another form of biological terrorism. I mean, we've got to, like, not only stop this, we need somehow to have the police and people in services, like, begin to... You know, we need criminal investigations of these people. Like, that's, there need to be public inquiries. Like, that. This is coming down. They want to mandate enforced inoculations. And where are the police? Why aren't the police investigating this? You know, and Jane Burgermeister's complaint was submitted to the FBI.
Well, I you know, we dealt with that on the show last night. I understand you didn't get to hear the show. We see a lot of disinformation going out on that. First of all, the she's a journalist. The information that she submitted to whomever she submitted it to, as far as we know, she's submitted it to one person in New Jersey who filed the lawsuit and didn't even mention her name. Didn't mention the name of the person that financed the whole thing either. So it's really a crazy case. I mean, it to me, it seems like more disinformation. I may be wrong, but I'm not often wrong in those areas. And there were a lot of other people. Dr. Ott submitted a lot of material. Andrew S. Jones, who was with the National Institute of Health, submitted some documentation, and he lost his job over that. So obviously, there must be something to some truth to what we're talking about here. Jane Burgermeister, as far as I know, has made enemies of everyone who's tried to help her, turning on them, like so many other people that we hear about over the years. Those of us that do this kind of research. And I don't mean necessarily in this area. So, you know, until we get all the facts together, it's very unlikely that a person would file a lawsuit from Europe or spawn an FBI investigation, a criminal investigation from Austria. It's ridiculous. And the way the complaint was written, it really is not taking all the pertinent issues into account. It's very general. It's not specific. There's a lot of missing information that should be in such a complaint, but it's been gone about the wrong way.
Well, I mean, I think it needs to be followed up on, like, across the country. I mean, I don't understand what's involved, but it's like we need to be filing complaints across the country and demanding investigation of these claims. And I mean, I don't know how to do that. I know in Canada, Joel Lord in Vancouver is making an effort to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like file court injunctions or...
Yeah, my best suggestion is you listen to last night's audio archive of my show. I'm going to be posting it on my site later tonight. It is available on BBS. Give it a listen, because Dr. Ott talks about what he feels everyone should do. And he is putting a team together, and you'd probably want to be part of that team anyway. Once you get back on your feet and are in a position, you know, to devote the time to it. We have a lot of listeners in Canada, we know, that call into the show on a regular basis, folks that are paying attention to what's going on. So
yeah.
There are people that know what's happening and are determined to do something about it.
Yeah. Well, I know in the Ottawa Citizen this week, the headline read, "Vaccine for Every Canadian Official's Pledge." And it goes on to say that, they've ordered the government to order 50 million doses to combat swine flu pandemic. 50 million doses. There's 30 million people approximately in Canada. So it's like a double whammy for almost the whole population. I mean, it's absolutely outrageous. And it's so interesting how they talk about the public officials who support, say that their vaccinations are safe. Oh, well, actually, they don't exactly. They say one official, the WHO director, Marie Paul Keeney, WHO director at the Institute for Vaccine Research, said in the teleconference that minor side effects of a vaccine had to be expected, including nausea and fever, and that there is no doubt that in any large-scale vaccination program there will be instances of severe adverse reactions. But then, yeah. Well, no, it's the movement's all in place, and the government has conspired to give these people millions and billions of dollars, and they're all these same criminal cartels are all invested into the pharmaceutical companies, so they're making monies off this kind of genocidal plan of theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And in other countries, it's mandated as well. I think I read in Greece it was mandated. Yeah.
You see, you brought up a good point there. The gist of this lawsuit that we were talking about a moment ago is really to discredit the work of those that know what's going on. And they use such a person that appears to be making this altruistic act on behalf of all of humanity, only to turn on everyone and get everyone bickering. A lot of that's been going on. This is occurring on radio shows, and you really have to know all the facts of what's going on behind the scenes, Christopher, to understand what I'm talking about. But you use the term infiltrators, and I like to put the I in traitor. Infiltrators. Many of these people aren't even Americans running the show right now, and I guess they presume that they just have the wherewithal, the means to stop us from questioning that, but that's not going to die out. People are fed up with what's going on. They're fed up with being lied to on a constant basis, and they're starting to recognize even the dumbed down boob tube freaks that sit there with a six pack and a bag of chips watching television. You know, the individual I refer to as Joe Sixpack.
Yeah.
Even those people are starting to wake up because their beer's starting to taste funny. And their chips are starting to taste funny. And, you know, how much reality TV do they have to have before they realize that it's all insane? That it's just mind control and propaganda. All of it. There's no truth coming out whatsoever. Even watching the History Channel, with the research that I've done, I can't stomach half of what I hear because they lie about everything. They twist everything to make the banks and all these characters that are so corrupt, and we're uncovering the corruption. So, you know, I'm not making an unwarranted statement. They make movies about them, and because documentary films, and they've got Lauren Green or William Basehart or one of these guys that have a really good radio voice doing the voiceover, the narration, and somehow that's supposed to give it credibility because these are fine actors, and we just don't get it that this is all a big acting job. You know, that even the newscasters themselves belong to the Screen Actors Guild. They're acting. That's all they're doing. This is all a script. And we can rewrite this, you know, or we can burn the book, so to speak. We don't have to follow their script. We don't. Most people, unfortunately, don't have the wherewithal within themselves to realize that. And all we can do is use the same technique and keep repeating the message until they finally wake up and get it.
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes people say that the media is not doing their job, and I think that's completely wrong. I think the media is doing their job really well. It's just we haven't understood what their job is. Their job isn't to inform people, but their job is to concoct a whole propaganda and they are pathological liars and actors. That's exactly what they are. And the media even helps stage the news that's reported, that because the major news events, before the show even happens or the tragedy that they perpetrate happens, they have their experts all lined up and what their spin is and who to go to and things like that. You can see that once you wake up and you look at the TV, you see that these people are just pathological liars. They lie about everything. And it's such a heady mind trip that most people, it takes a while to kind of break away from it. I haven't been able to watch my TV for 4 or 5 months. It just makes me sick to look at them because they're just such pathological liars, you know. But their intention is to deceive. You see it how one of the in psychology, when you have a tragic happening, it creates a kind of first moments of uncertainty and what's happening in the audience. And what they do, you see, they want to have their experts lined up right away to sell their spin to cover up the real perpetrators of all the crimes being done. I mean, that's their duty is to camouflage and hide these crimes. And they also even help stage things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
I mean, they
yes.
have pre... I saw... When I woke up, I remember... I happened one day to watch a shooting in Montreal at a college there where they had a crazed gunman. And they had one witness on there, this woman, Tracy Eck. And she was interesting, somewhat attractive woman, kind of, but histrionic a bit. And I could see, she told this story. She said that she was outside the college and she saw this shooter shooting people outside. And then she said she was inside the college having a cigarette with her friend in the cafeteria when the gunman came in and he had a great big trench coat and a great big machine gun and he started shooting people. And then she said she escaped out the door and hid in the bushes. Well, the whole thing was completely ridiculous. She wouldn't be outside seeing the guy shooting people and then go sit in the cafeteria and have a cigarette. See, they concocted this story ahead of time. There were episodes of this woman, and I could see when it was happening that she was fraudulent. That's what they do. The news is really like a soap opera. Their soap opera, how they're going to deceive us. And I saw that also in when they had that airplane go down in Buffalo. And
yes.
The reporter's right on the scene and it's ice on the wings, you know. And even when the officials are saying, well, we have no basis, we can't determine yet, but they spin it and but it'll probably be ice on the wings and then they close it off and they forget it because they come in early and they put in their spin to deceive you. You know, like on 9/11, they had an expert explaining how it was likely Osama bin Laden within a half hour of the first airplane crash into the building. See, it was all set up ahead of time. The whole thing is staged. It's a real life soap opera. And that's what the mainstream media is. And these people are all guilty of very serious crimes.
Yeah,
really, for their complicity, obstruction of justice, accessories to mass murder, accessories after the fact. You know, these people know, like the people in the media know what they're doing. You know, just like our politicians, they kind of pretend they don't know 9/11 was an inside job. Like, give me a break. Everybody knows. It's like there's an elephant in the room. No one can face it.
Well, they even measured the psychic response of the planet days before 9/11 occurred. If you recall that story, that
on the
there was a psychic imprint that they picked up.
Yeah,
that everyone on a level knew this was going to happen, not consciously, but you know the subconscious and the superconscious picked that up. Now, you mentioned the plane crash, especially the Buffalo crash. That was a crash that I was interviewing Ken Adachi during my show when that was being covered on the news. And I turned on my TV, that inner voice said, turn on your TV. And I had to make sure the sound was muted, of course, because I didn't want it coming over the airwaves during the show. And I made a note of the people they were interviewing. And when I went down the rabbit hole on these people, they all had similar addresses. They had addresses in Akron, Ohio, and Buffalo, New York, although they all claimed to live in Clarence Center. And when I went back that evening after the show, I should say morning, and listened to the broadcast because they kept replaying the same loop over and over and over again, I started paying attention, close attention to what these people were saying. Now, Christopher, I want to just make a comment and have you comment on this. You've probably in your lifetime, like me, have seen thousands and thousands of airplanes throughout your life flying. And you've seen some at night flying. Have you ever seen ice on a wing of an airplane, even in the winter?
Only on TV, picture, news. I mean, it's so rare. It's so rare, and especially with the new Bombardier airplane with you know, advanced de-icing equipment on it. I mean, it was just a fraud,
mm-hmm.
you know. And also, see, what people don't realize is these airplane companies are now putting bombs into planes so they can blow up certain planes out of the air. And I think they're even running insurance scams off it and things like that.
Yes, yes, we
yeah,
covered
Hawks
that.
Cafe talks about that.
Yeah, yeah, we had David Hawkins and Field McConnell on the show several times, and we exposed all of this.
Yeah.
You know, if you're in your house, do you see ice on the wing of an airplane? And all these people claim to have seen this. Now, there were some close witnesses, and they all described fire.
Yeah,
but they didn't get interviewed on TV. They said the flames engulfed the whole plane, and the plane dropped like a lead balloon.
Yeah.
So and they didn't even tell us it damaged two houses, not just one house, two houses. But they, for some reason, they had to keep that a secret. No one would identify the other building that was burning, and this is a Tontine scam. These things are done intentionally. Beverly Eckert was on that plane. Beverly
yeah.
Eckert was suing the government.
Yeah, New York Port Authority. I think was part of it, yeah.
And who owned the World Trade Center? The Rockefellers.
Yeah.
You know, they made sure that they brainwashed everybody with their spin, causing us to believe that Larry Silverstein was the owner. What person in their right mind owns a car and leases the car from themselves? What person in their right mind owns a house and leases the house from themselves? What businessman would rent thousands of office suites in multiple buildings and when he owns it? it doesn't happen that way. Yet somehow we can't do the logic here. You know, we can't be logical and analyze what's going on and pay attention to what's being said. Somehow. That doesn't matter, that none of that makes any sense, and that it's a lie. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's so overwhelmingly evident that the whole thing was a lie. Like, you could prove it in any criminal court if before any sane judge who's not compromised, anywhere in the world, you can prove 9/11 was an inside job. The buildings were demolished. It's obvious. Overwhelming evidence. The evidence was there for the moment it happened. The firemen were saying there were bombs in the building. Reporters were saying it. Everyone was saying it. You know, we were so stupid ever to have believed the airplanes brought down those towers. I mean, the evidence is overwhelming. And then you see that everybody covers it up. That's the end, and that it just shows the whole web of complicity and who it is that's part of covering it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's obvious it was that the whole thing was fraudulent. There was no airplane into the Pentagon. An airplane doesn't disappear into a 14-foot hole. It's like people have no sense of reality anymore. They watch too much Roadrunner cartoons, and they think anything can happen. You know, airplane can disappear into a 14-foot hole, or an airplane can hit a building and then blow it up and pulverize a building. You know, like, people are there, they have no sense, grasp of reality. Like, you know, it's obvious, and it's obvious who these people are. You know, the networks of it, like, not all the details of how everything was done and such, like, that needs a lot of investigation. But the main characters, we know who they are. You know, it's obvious who they are. It's the same people who are trying to bring in their new world psychiatric disorder, I call it. So These are really disturbed, pathologically disturbed people. And you know, they're Satanists, they're perverts and pedophiles, and they're psychopaths. For money, they'll murder people. You know, they murder people. They spray people with chemicals so they can sell more drugs. You know, they repress anything good that comes forward, whether it's zero-point energy or new energy alternatives or new treatments. You know, they want to spread illness and cancers and such. And they do. It's disgusting. And these international criminal cabals have kind of taken over the governments of our countries. You know, the governments no longer serve the people. You know, the whole thing has become a criminal enterprise.
Yeah, well, it's been that way for a couple of hundred years. You know, we're realizing that. It's become rather acute in more recent times, but even the past 40, 50 years, there is no statute of limitations for murder in the United States. And the way they get around that is they form a commission, and then they lie. They lie through their teeth. To me, that's obstruction of justice, and those people on those commissions are just as guilty as the murderers.
Yeah.
If you go by the standards, I didn't create those laws, but I tell you, when God comes down here and lays his hand on this situation, you know, you're going to see something that I really hope we can witness that. I really do. I hope we're here to witness what happens to those people. I sincerely mean that, because this transcends anyone's imagination as to how evil can become.
Yeah, these people lose their souls. I mean, I think partly, like, their punishment, things may come down and turn them on them on Earth, but into the afterlife, I think they're drawn into real lower realms and even to the realm of the moon, and I think they're devoured cannibalistically by kind of alien beings. Like, these people, their fate is not too rosy. It really isn't. In afterlife states, because I see that's where they pay for the consequences of their behaviors, and
mm-hmm.
they're drawn, they're possessed through the higher dimensional physics of their hearts. But see, it's how your heart is, so is the individual, in a sense, and from a mystical perspective, in trying to learn to be spiritual, we want to be what's called upright of heart. That's a Gnostic Christian term, to be upright of heart, meaning that you're centered in an elevated side aspect of your heart, whereas Satan controls people through the desire nature of the heart, controlled by the lower centers in the person. The three
mm-hmm.
lower centers are associated often with the motives of money, sex, and power. And you see that these people, like all these creeps who want their new world fascist disorder, like they're controlled by money, sex, and power. That's all they care about. They don't have love in their heart. They don't have compassion. They don't have awe. They don't have the bliss of the heart. Like, these people are old world, you know, and they've held back the evolution of humankind. With the next level of evolution, I'd say, is the awakening of the heart in people, and people turning in the heart and becoming upright of heart.
Mm-hmm.
So these really are like psychiatrically disturbed people. You know, they're criminal psychopaths.
Mm-hmm. Now, if I could, I'd like to ask you a question. I think the audience would find this fascinating, because I'd like to draw an analogy to what's occurring through the work you do. Now, recently, and I'd like to preface it with a short comment here. Recently, I've had Greg Evenson on the show. Greg is a former Kansas State Trooper. He is a forensic criminologist. He teaches PhD level classes on criminology, and he's a one heck of a historian and an investigator, and he's got a very good heart. I'll say that much. And he and I have talked on this show. I've been on his show many times, and I've been on shows with him and Drew Raines at the same time, and we've talked about all of this stuff. But this begins at an earlier age. Now, as a forensic psychologist, have you had the opportunity to work with, let's say, children that are getting into crime at an early age, maybe are in a detention facility, or maybe even in jail? Are you noticing this behavior in the younger children? Within the realm of your work is what I'm getting at.
Well, I worked for 5 years with the worst young offenders in Ontario in the maximum unit, in the maximum facility, and then I worked for 8 years with adult offenders in a provincial facility. And most of these, like, very, very few prisoners are really psychopaths. Okay, they're more men who've had hurt and damage emotionally and families of abuse and drug use and such in their homes but in a way, a lot of the prisoners I worked with all had heart in a sense. Most did. There were very, very few psychopaths I met in, say, the 1,000 people I worked with during my time in corrections. It would be a handful of real psychopaths. Now, I was reading David Icke's book this last week, which was so interesting, The Biggest Secret. And he had some very insightful comments about, like, what is it about these people? And he talks about how these elite children from these elite families, the children from these families, they grow up with very little love and affection in the home, and then they're sent off to, like, prep schools and boys' schools, and they have kind of the kind of emotional, they grow up, there's something damaged emotionally in them from an early age, and they're kind of conditioned into this kind of, like, we're superior, or, you know, some attitude, and they engage a lot in homosexuality because they're the preppy school and they can't control their energies and it's like there's something yet damaged emotionally in these people very early in their life, and they have no compassion or empathy then, you know, for other people. And So anyway, I think the elites, like, they're a special kind of brand of psychopath. You know, very few people generally in the prisons are psychopaths. The real psychopaths took over our nations. I mean, those are the real psychopaths. They're deceitful, manipulative. They use people. They don't care. They have no feeling for other people. All the evidences of being psychopaths.
Would you suggest that a psychopath is created rather than born?
Wow, that's really complex, and I myself think reincarnation is most likely, and that certain aspects of character can be carried over from previous lives even. But I also see your learning experiences as critical, and you can even overcome some past life things through your learning experiences. So it's a complex combination of factors. Yeah,
well, I would say if they have this routine, and you're speaking about those that call themselves the enlightened ones or the Illuminati, that their method of the first 18 months of torture, and then 18 months of love, and then tough love, like what you're describing, these schools where they're around people that have no familial connection to them. You know, they're telling them what to do. They're ordering them around. They're instructing them in every step. Always maybe pulling back at the moment that the individual is going to break. But who knows what goes on? I mean, when you hear about things like the McMartin school case in California some years back, that those things can go on in a school really demonstrates the depravity of that aspect of society. These same people control the education. And it goes into the areas of religion, too. It's not exclusive to the schools. And it goes into really every aspect of life, because all of this is promoted for the masses through the media. They're promoting really perverse lifestyles now, especially on television. And, you know, it's crazy. I mean, if you watch 5 minutes of one of these shows, and, you know, you watch 20 men competing for the affections of a woman, and they'll show this woman kissing each one of the 20, or more than kissing, okay? Yeah. And everything they can get away with showing on camera, let's put it that way. And the language is bleeped out with a 1 kilohertz tone every 15 seconds, because these people can't speak without using swear words. And then the girl makes the judgment that she's going to chuck one of the guys out of the picture. He's out of the running. And sometimes the reason is because she found out he's still in love with the girl, or he had a girlfriend, or something like that. Now, doesn't anyone see this woman is making out with 20 guys, and she's going to judge the guy's character? I mean, you know, don't we see this insanity and recognize it for what it is?
Yeah, I really agree. They've totally tried to generate degeneracy through the media, random violence, random sex, kind of titillation, like, in a way, they degrade people. They like to have all different kinds of ways of trying to degrade people, and they portray that as normal. And I mean, they really undermine the kind of moral fabric of the populace. You know, and people need to turn their TVs off and get back to real life.
Yeah, well, I think they do that so that when we watch politics on TV, that we don't see the difference. You know, they have to portray it with these other characters. Oh, yeah, they're just like politicians. Therefore, politicians are normal. But you're describing as psychopathic. So, in that sense, the prisoners that you talked to, who you determined were likely psychopathic, did they express a desire to go into politics when they got out of jail?
Well, no, because it was more a different socioeconomic level, really, of prisoners. And those types didn't end up in jail. You see, they didn't get the good psychopaths, like, they excel in business and, you know, in police forces and, you know, because of the whole nature of the kind of the whole nature of the system, how corrupted it became. Mm-hmm. I mean, this international cabal, you know, through the, you know, Council on Foreign Relations and the Bilderbergs and the Trilateral Commissions and all these groups, they've kind of infiltrated the whole of our societies in a way. You know, they've corrupted our intelligence and police services at the highest levels. I mean, that's what they've done. I mean, the CIA know 9/11 was an inside job, but they don't do anything. You know, everybody knows a real terrorist wasn't Osama bin Laden and his reindeer. You know, it just didn't happen like that. It was a fantasy tale.
But what I didn't know he had a reindeer.
I say that just to kind of make it look like how ridiculous it is. Like, it's a fantasy story.
Yeah.
You know, and there's not one aspect of the story that's held together over time. Every aspect of the 9/11 story we were told has turned out to be a lie. You know,
yeah, we have that same problem with the character who's the usurper in the White House right now.
Yeah.
Same thing. Everything has turned out to be a lie.
Yeah.
And I can say that on the basis of the research I've done.
But if you just watch mainstream media, it's all kind of plausible and kind of fits together, and you can kind of ignore it. It's only really, I would say, if you turn to alternative media and the internet and shows like this and RBN and Alex Jones and start being exposed to this kind of stuff, it begins to wake you up. Like, you know, I only woke up 3 years ago when my son, my youngest son, showed me the movie Loose Change, and I was absolutely shocked. I'd never really thought about it, and I was never really into politics, and I had no idea. But when I saw that, like, it was this huge shock to me, because I realized right away our government's new, and I realized right away the media were all involved in covering it up and staging it. Like, it's all obvious, and you can see everyone who covered it up afterwards. And then you realize the people who did 9/11 control our governments. See, that's the problem. These people, they're now in control of our nation. Yeah. So.
Well, you've identified the problem there, so why don't we do something about it? I mean, you know, that's what you and I do with our radio shows and with our research. We expose this. We, you know, our mission is to get to the truth. And of course, they don't want us to know the truth because it empowers us. And, I wanted to bring up the difference between imagination, which is really, a key to us accessing or tapping into our higher powers, and the use of imagery on this level. Because we are capable, and it's natural for us to use our imaginations, because it's a part of creativity. And yet, when we're shown images, the images have the effect of dulling our imagination. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. I myself tend not to imagine because I try to be more aware of what is real and what is not real in my life. And so I found, like, in turning, learning to kind of control my mind and my personality, is that I always had different imaginings going on in my mind and about things. And I tried to learn to stop doing that and to wake up and be present in the moment.
Well, I'm not saying necessarily in the sense that you're hallucinating, but I'm speaking about, I mean, can you imagine peace, okay, on this world? Or can you imagine peace anywhere in the universe?
Yeah,
I don't think there's anything destructive or, you know, that would hold you back. And I'm not saying that that's what you're implying.
No.
But I think that's a positive use of imagination that couples itself with creativity.
Yeah.
It becomes creativity.
I agree. I have been imagining. Can I share with you a little bit of my imaginings?
No, we're out of time. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead. Yes,
yeah,
that's why you're on the show.
I'm writing, trying to write a new book, and it's a two-sided book. And the first side of the book, if you look at the cover, you see a big spider, black widow spider, that they have in Ottawa. You know, they have these black widow spiders in the Rockefeller Center in New York, in the London Financial District, and at the World Court. They have these black widow spiders, favorite kind of Nazi symbol, eh?
And Michelle Obama wore a black widow spider dress to the acceptance speech on election night.
Wow, isn't that cute, eh?
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, so that's a picture on the cover, and because it's right up by Parliament Hill in Ottawa, you know, right in your face, but no one thinks there's anything unusual about it. And the book is called O Canada Lost, The Ascendancy of the New World Psychiatric Disorder. And it begins with 9/11 and what a fraud it is, and then it goes into all the media and how they help stage events, and it goes into inoculations and chemtrails and aspartame and fluoride, and, you know, it goes into their plans of genocide through inoculations, all the criminal aspects of what's being done, how we've been betrayed by the police and the intelligence community, how we've been betrayed by the military. You know, all these people are involved in treasonous acts, what they've done to us, you know. So the first side is like a critique, how, you know, and it just gets worse because it ties into the elites and who they are, and the, you know. And then you flip the book around on the other side, and it's Canada Regained. And the idea is it's like paradise lost and regained. And the other side, it's 7 policy recommendations for the Canadian Action Party. And the first policy I suggest is that we apply our own anti-terrorist laws, which allow you to seize the assets of those involved in terrorist activities. So we then identify those people involved in terrorist activities and seize their assets around the world, which would pay off the debts of the United States completely and reduce it by the year 2012 to zero. The likely you'd take all these funds back from these international bankster gangsters and give them a holiday in Cuba where they can go and have new pet dogs, and we can give them chemtrails and genetically modified food, and they can hang out there for intercourse among themselves. So that's my imagination of where, and I thought of this place in Canada called the Montebello Resort, where they held the last SPP conference up in Canada, and I thought we could change Montebello into Montebello Hospital for the Criminally Insane. And we could put many of our government figures and the Canadian elite in the Montebello Hospital for the Criminally Insane. So this is my imagination, and I try to hold that in view, that that's a concept that if people around the world all woke up to what's been done by the criminality of the elites, and we could take back our world, it would pay off the debts of all the nations on the earth, and you could get, you know, half income tax within a year or two, and you'd have a whole new society and bring all these new inventions out and have a whole new age of enlightenment and such. So that's my imagining. So I try to remember that and have it in my mind and then feel it in my heart that I would like to see justice restored on earth, like righteousness again. It's like our nations are, you know, it's just so tragic, you know, what's happened to America, you know, the American dream that became the American nightmare. And now we see how your CIA and your military, they've been used all around the world, and not to liberate people and spread democracy. The whole time it's been a lie. You know, it's to be the bullies for the world elites. You know, it's terrible. All the CIA is an international terrorist organization. They've assassinated people. They tortured hundreds of thousands. They bring about wars for the war machine. And it's disgusting what's happened. And this is, you know, all of modern history. The red blood stains through history. There are all these wars and such are the product of these same people who have never been dealt with and identified. And I think never has there been a time where the world, the people of the world, are beginning to wake up to what's really going on and not what you're seeing on TV.
Yes, and you know, it rings loud and clear that what you're describing is the antithesis of the creation. These were things that were there to keep a balance, and it's gotten way, way out of proportion. But I sense that the pendulum is beginning to swing in the other direction, and I think that's why you see the panic and the fear in those that think so highly of themselves, because their empire is naturally crumbling. And I think there are some supreme forces at work also on a metaphysical level that that they really can't cope with. Ultimately, you know, they'll be this grand battle, and they'll lose, as they have before, because this is not the first time this has happened, even here on Earth. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I hope so. I pray so. I pray that that will be the way it will turn. But I think it's also, it's in the balance in a way. Like, I am, in my own writing on my website, I compare it to the Lord of the Rings story. And book two of the Lord of the Rings is like the two towers. And I think that's so significant because 9/11 was the first time where there was this horrendous event, but it's exposed. We were told a lie. And in a way, it's their Achilles heel. It's kind of ultimate Achilles heel that they committed 9/11, you know, and blamed it on Muslims and invaded lands and committed war crimes. And America's committing more war crimes now against the Afghani people, the Iraqi people, you know, people all around the world, you know. They're encroaching now on Iran. And, oh, it's so insane. It's so pathological.
They're doing it to our people, too.
Yeah. I mean, they're building death camps all through the states. You know, they got your Georgia Guidestones, you know, saying, oh, how nice it was to reduce the population to 500 million, you know. May we live in peace, you know. You know, it's right in your face. You got hundreds of thousands of coffins in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see the military, the police being more and more militarized, and they cultivate psychopaths, and they take more and more kids to lead to the breakdown of families and that, so they can, you know, use them in their pedophile rings or create psychopaths and robots and such. They have this whole mind psychology of conditioning, and you know they don't. So. And it's all unfolding. It's all unfolding. I mean, this is a huge thing upon us, is this inoculations. I mean, it's absolutely so insane that, you know, that people would let themselves be injected with squalene and oil base and heavy metals and all this viral matter cultivated in rhesus monkeys and other organic life forms, and you put this in your blood. You know, and all the evidence has been there through history, but they all, the pharmaceutical companies, they just hide up their crimes, and, you know, they don't care. You know, Baxter should have been in court charged with mass murder for what they did in Austria. You know, they murdered a bunch of homeless men experimenting on their inoculations on them. You know, there's complete lawlessness at the higher levels in our nations. It's quite astonishing. I could never believe
it. They brainwashed us when we were kids with cartoons like Bugs Bunny and Porky Pig. And we had Arnold Ziffel. Here you had people in Green Acres living with a pet pig in the house. They never got the swine flu. and they lived with the thing. I don't think Bugs Bunny ever got the swine flu. And I don't. But now they're going to use that literally. They're going to turn around and turn that against us. See, we've been conditioned since we were kids with these images, and it certainly falls within the timeline, these creations, you see. And I'm talking about the images and the flu itself. I mean, it goes back to, what, 1918, at least?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, even in the, have you ever read the Protocols of Zion?
Yes, I have.
That's a very interesting document because you kind of see it's like it's written by kind of a manipulative, psychopathic, egomaniac type of group or individual, how to kind of manipulate and deceive everybody, and one of the main points at one point is to poisoning people through inoculations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and these are the people that get upset when we call them by name, or identify the groups that they run. You know, the legal groups, the political groups, these lobbyist groups that eternally want to present themselves as victims of being on this planet. When in reality, it's the other way around. You see, that's the psychopathy in its reality. It's a duplicitous state. Everything is the opposite of what they say, and that's in the protocols of elders, the elders of Zion.
And I think a lot of people get involved in it, but you don't. They don't. People who become part of it, they have no idea really what they're getting into when they begin. And it's over only time they begin to grasp the deviousness of things. And then they're blackmailed or intimidated, or if they spoke out, they'd lose their jobs, which happens to people all the time. So it kind of puts people more and more into silence. And there are a lot of, like I would say, there are sheep and there are goats. The sheep are the masses of the people who are kind of just led along, told what to believe, and they don't realize they're going to be skinned very soon. And the goats are kind of people who have been brought in into this kind of web that they draw people into. But then the person is kind of entrapped in their position. And when the SPP was in Ottawa, I went to a press conference at a big hotel here in Ottawa, and provided by the people against the SPP. And there was a major Canadian network news team there, and I had to pop out to get more film for my camera. And on my way back in, I saw this TV crew leaving. And I knew it wasn't over. And I said to them, the two men and the women, I said to them, you must be ashamed of what you do. And the woman in the group said, we are. Because, see, they know what they do, because they don't inform people. They've allowed this deception of the public to go on for so many years. And they're really ashamed of what they're doing. You see, but they're trapped into it.
Yeah.
So there
are
many people who are goats, kind of, who become, you know, they can't speak out because they might be murdered, poisoned, have an accident, get suicided where you get shot three times in the head, and you know, and the police cover all these things up anyway. It's like, so... What we need is like people turning throughout the system who just begin to start saying, no, you know, we have to kind of like, you know, it's experiencing remorse of conscience. You realize how criminal and evil this has become, and you just start saying no to it and turning, and then hopefully we'll reach a tipping point where there are masses of people turning, and, you know, and they want answers, and, you know, it's demanding the truth. And
well, they say we only need 5% to tip or to make that balance shift. Just 5% of people awake. That's not a lot. A lot of people approach this thinking that they have to have everyone. And that plays right into the methods that they use. I think their biggest regret is that they never thought anyone would wake up. They really thought, they miscalculated.
Yeah.
They thought they had accomplished their goal. Now and they're still under that delusion. Don't get me wrong. But I think that's a reality that they didn't plan for. And they're making a lot of mistakes in trying to regroup to cover it up. And I'm finding this, and I know other researchers that are finding the same thing. Many, many people. I could probably name 100 of them off the top of my head.
Yeah.
And you mentioned one, in David Icke. I may not agree with everything that David says, but by and large, his work is very similar to the work of Fritz Springmeier. And what did they do with him to silence him? They threw him in prison. That's the fear that they have, you see?
Yeah.
They have to torture them. And we know torture goes on.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, that's, to me, that is, that's, these are the depravities of this condition. And the reason we discuss this is not to create fear, but to show people, look who you are calling your leaders. Look what they're like.
Yeah.
Don't see that. What are your thoughts on that, Chris?
Well, we need people massively more and more to wake up. I think we need more than 5%, but, and people need to see what our leaders have done. I mean, imagine your leaders have deceived the public, the American public. They've lied to you about the wars. And now America has become a terrorist nation, and that's not where the American people, they were lied to. You know, it brings to mind that young man, that football star. What was his name?
Pat Tillman.
Pat Tillman. I mean, there was an all-American boy kind of a multi-million dollar contract as a football star, and he put his life on the line to serve his country, believing, you know, that he's protecting America. And then the whole thing turns out to be a lie. And these people who do these things, they've sacrificed American men and women for their motives. Look, they murdered like 50,000 Americans in Vietnam. I mean, 2 million Vietnamese. And it's the same people. It's the same people and the same motives and the same cruelty and the same deception of the American people the whole time to justify the wars and to think you have to defend America by invading Vietnam. It's just more lies, lies after lies after lies. And there we have, 100,000 American soldiers damaged from the vaccinations, from the Gulf War syndrome and such. And these people don't care for America. Like, they don't care for their own soldiers. I mean, it's disgusting. Aren't there officers at different level who do care for their men and see the treasonous nature of this whole thing? I'm surprised. It's like we need some men and women of integrity in our police and our military and intelligence community. We need these people to be standing forth and saying, no, enough is enough.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think the world is in the balance. I think by 2012 we could have a fascist state and everyone can have a little chip in your right hand and the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds can think they're kings of the world, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's so tragic. And we see now how everything we've been told about modern history, well, they rewrote our history and deceived us through our educational system. You know, they hid all the real causes of World War II and World War I. I mean, they've hidden all their crimes and have all these hoaxes. Everything they do is a hoax. You know, landing on the moon is a hoax, you know, I think, at least initially.
Yeah,
The Holocaust now, like, oh, yeah, it was not 6 million Jews, you know, like... Now, well, maybe 4.2 million. And now, oh, no, Auschwitz, there weren't massive gas chambers there. Now they got a new book out where, oh, they say the exterminations were spread out through 100,000 different camps, you know. The whole thing, one hoax after another.
Yeah.
You know, it just goes on.
While you're describing that, Christopher, I was thinking, and I was paying attention to what you were saying, too. but this thought came up that there are those in other parts of the world outside of the United States that feel that we're not awake here. But who are they going after right now? They're going after the United States, right?
Yeah.
They've pretty much taken over all the other territories that they want to take over. And those people there will tell you that.
Yeah.
Now, they're rooting for us in a sense that if we wake up, then this thwarts the plan. And then there are those that are all for it because they don't know any better, or they're not informed. maybe if they were informed, they would know more. So they also have their propaganda. I spent 5 years in Europe. I know what the TV's like. You know, they show a program, and they show a half an hour of commercials, and then they show a program uninterrupted. Now it's primarily fiction, and if it's history, do you think it's actually the true history? Do you think that those people are going to be oppressed politically and religiously and educationally, and realize what's happening? Now they see a difference with us, and they hear us speaking. They're listening. Those that are listening to this show know what we're talking about. Those people care, and they're awake, or they're learning, and so they're paying attention because they're sensing things are not the way that they've been told they are. They're living this. Okay, now all those people that are awake are presuming that we have to save ourselves to save them. Or if they weren't thinking that way, they would be telling us this is what we're doing on our part, because they're under the thumb of that system already, and they have been for a number of years.
As we have been.
Yes, we have too. But
it's all in place. It's been fashioned over the last 50 years. I mean, you look back to the Kennedy assassination, really, and what that really was. It was it was a coup.
Yes.
Because he was the last, you know, he started to print you some of your own money. You know, he was opposed to the development of all the nuclear programs wanted to oppose the military-industrial complex. He saw what a monster it had become, even though, and he was even going to disband, didn't he say he was going to disband the CIA into 1,000 points of light or something?
Yeah,
that
yeah.
Kennedy shatter it into 1,000 points.
Yeah. They accomplished all this, what I was describing, through our military. They took our military there and made our military the international policeman. I think even David Icke writes about that. Now what they're going to do, since they've got our military spread out all over the world, now they're going to bring the foreign militaries here under the auspice of the UN, or the umbrella of the UN, and take over. At least that's their intention.
Yeah.
So,
foreign troops were more likely to be less empathic and not be able to communicate with the people in the States, likely to be crueler, perhaps, you know.
Sort of like illegal aliens.
I mean, I think your point, in a way, how the U.S. turns is so profoundly important, because you are the military might of this monster. You know, the financial basis is London, and the so-called spiritual basis, is in Rome. You have those kind of three centers of the kind of power of the beast, you know. And in a way, like, the world does need for America to rise up. But, I mean, we need to do that in other countries, too, and we can't wait for America. We need to support each other around the world. I mean, it's good. People around the world need to join forces because we have the same struggle, and we have to carry it out on every level we can. Mm-hmm. I think, like, resistance to it.
Yeah. Now, if China is such a threat to the United States, and I'm not saying it is, but they like to, you know, under the auspice of the Cold War, they want to tell us that China is a threat. Well, they haven't really revealed to the populace what they've done, how they've given them access to own real estate and assets here in this country, because our government didn't adhere to contractual agreements that had to do with investment capital and the return of the investment and the return of the profit. They've stolen all of it, you see. So what do they do? I've heard in the last couple of days that Obama either has or is in the process of giving billions of dollars worth of our highest technology in airplanes, in jets, yes. military
yeah.
jets.
Yeah.
So when these acts occur, you know, doesn't anyone think, I mean, the people in the military, they don't have a problem with this? Well, then if that occurs, then their intention isn't to protect this country. Their intention isn't to protect Canada.
No.
Or anywhere else. If they're empowering people that have enslaved their people the same way we've been enslaved, maybe a bit harsher, but it's getting close to be the same as what it was in the former Soviet Union. And just because they made this announcement on the media that the Berlin Wall came down didn't mean that communism stopped, or
yeah.
socialism, or fascism, or Zionism. You see, all of that runs without the prisons and the walls. You know, they're just as happy murdering people. And they devise every sadistic way that one can imagine to murder and torture people, including children.
Yeah.
That's my rant. My last rant.
And the weapons, the waste. And like you have 1,000 biology labs across the states manufacturing biological weapons. You know, like, how disgusting as the waste of resources, and it's such a waste. What's happened to our nations, it's so tragic, and our only hope is that we people do wake up and we try to take back our countries. I think we're in a very precarious position. Like they're quickening their agenda because they're being exposed more and more broadly.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And
like
but at times I think you see them back off certain things, because when attention's brought to it, they at times back off things. I think they backed off bombing Iran for a while previously. Because
well, they backed off bombing this country 7 times right before the inauguration.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that topic was covered on this show almost exclusively.
Yeah.
And they heard it. They heard it because they were paying attention, because they've been hearing the truth.
Yeah.
And they lament over the fact that the truth is coming out. Not just on this show. There's plenty of shows that have the truth coming out. But I can tell you that those that have to be secret, I mean, why do they have to be secret if they're so enlightened? Are they that fearful of others becoming powerful themselves by realizing who we are, who we really are, not who they tell us we are?
Yeah, people have definitely been dummied down, and they have to remain secret, because if people really knew what they had been doing for centuries, they'd probably be hanging from trees or gallows or things like that. Because it's like George Bush said to a reporter, George Bush Sr. in the White House, he said, if people really knew what we had done to this country, they'd be chasing us down the streets to hang us. Some comment like that. And
from the lamppost, yeah. He had to have a light there,
yeah.
You know.
And if people wake up and begin to see the criminality of the whole system and the wickedness of it, I mean, the fact that they actually perpetrated 9/11 on the American public, and then just shows the complicity of the kind of whole government and the judiciary and your police services and intelligence community. It's just the whole corruption of the whole system.
Yeah, now they really did it to the world, because, and not just because there were foreigners, you know, in those buildings as well, but they did it because the rest of the world that calls America so corrupt right now knows who is behind this too, you see?
Yeah.
These foreign governments played a role in the money laundering, so that was how they kept them quiet.
Yeah.
The banks got a piece of the action as the money had to be stolen and redirected somewhere else, hidden. Again, we have secrecy. But it's all evident. We all see it. We all understand it. And I think we're at a stage where we have to put this into meaningful action. And you know, we have to put our heads together to determine what that is.
Yeah.
And of course, we can keep it a secret, can't we?
Well, I mean, it's neat in the truth movement. You know, it's like you don't have to lie, and you don't have to remember what to say, and because the truth, once the truth is revealed, it can't be hidden away again. So I think we are only gaining in numbers, and they're only losing.
Mm-hmm.
But we're in a dangerous time, for sure, and. It's become such a monstrous lie that people will be more desperate to kind of defend it and maintain it. And
mm-hmm. Now, Christopher, in the closing moments of the show here, I want to talk about one more topic that we talked about at the top of the show. I was sent a notice that there's an international swine flu conference. Okay.
Yeah.
And I wonder if you have a seeing eye pig, if you could bring the pig to that conference. It's, that was a sick joke, but, you know, this is part of what they're going to discuss here.
Yeah.
Mass fatality management planning. Now,
yeah.
Is it management planning or is it mass fatality planning? Mass fatality management planning. That, you know, that's describing three or four different things within that one sentence. And let's see. A country report and situations update. Surveillance and data management. Now, what are they going to do? Are they going to be surveilling the pigs themselves or the birds?
Yeah.
Or the people who have been injected? In other words, are they going to monitor how long it takes people to get sick, how long it takes them to die? And I'm not speaking about catching the flu through any natural means, because I don't feel there is a natural means. It would be through an injection, wouldn't it?
Well, I think it could work in different ways. I mean, I think they'll release some of their flus and I think they will do that, but I think the inoculations, are really what's going to affect people more massively if that's actually brought about. Sorry, I forgot. Oh, yeah, swine flu conference. These people, they should invite Dr. Deagle and Rebecca Carley and Dr. Truott. That would be a good swine flu conference.
Yeah. Well, we've been having our own conference on internet radio.
Well, we need to keep it up and you know, just try to keep redoubling our efforts and what we can do. At least we'll go down fighting.
It's amazing. You know, they have nothing about continuity of society. Business continuity planning, continuity of operations, and continuity of government planning.
And it's never to help people. Like, they never really want to come in and help people. Like, you know, come in and give them physical support and food and things like that. It's never that. It's always how to come in and make it a police state and inter people and get rid of their bodies and they're brainwashing all their puppet masters who are going to kind of effect this, you know, global genocide against the American people. I mean, mm-hmm. I do think in a way, like, it's America's karma. Americans may experience instant karma, as John Lennon would call it. Like, it may be coming up that the manner in which your nation has become this world terrorist force. And all that is now going to come back upon yourselves because these people are still in power. The people who did 9/11 are in power now. and they do have these plans on reducing the American population. I mean, I do believe that they may make Hitler look like a kindergarten. They'll have massive genocides, not only in the States, but around the world. I mean, we're building towards that. That's part of their plan.
Doesn't karma operate under the higher laws? I mean, the way you're describing it, and I just want to make this clarification, is as though they are the ones that are actually controlling karma. Because it's a group of people throughout the world that are doing this. It's not just in America.
But we've allowed it to be done in ways by not being responsible and we've allowed it to be done.
Yeah, somehow. But that's all over the world. That's not just in America.
Well, that's true. It's true.
That's why I'm bringing this point up, because there are those that are under those systems, the very systems they fear we are going to be under, and you know, I'm not criticizing when I say that, you know.
Well, I think we need to turn it around. I mean, I'd like to see the instant karma of the elites come upon themselves, for these people to be seized and imprisoned and have to face the public publicly. And have all their crimes brought out and explained to people. I mean, imagine the media. Imagine how happy the people in the media would be if one day they could go to work and actually tell the truth and start telling the truth about all the crimes the government's done. I mean, they'd have so much fun. It would, like, be a liberation. Hey, mm-hmm. Everyone would be glued to your TV. It'd be, like, amazing. You know, and you see all these people, you know, and all their crimes are exposed and such. That's instant karma.
We could call it a reality show. Well, Christopher, we're out of time. I want to give you the opportunity to give out your website or any way anyone can contact you, especially if they feel they need some help.
Yeah, my website's at www.zeropoint, spelled zeropoint.ca, as I'm in Canada. And my phone number's up there if anyone does want to contact me. Thank you very much, Don, for having me on, and really appreciate your show. Since I called in about 2 weeks ago, I called in one night when you had another guest on. The day after that, the internet shut down in my building, and it's still off today.
Really?
Yeah, it shut down after that. I've been, I can go to another building and use it, but it's really blocked my work a lot. It's very odd.
Yeah, you think that's a coincidence, or?
Well, there again, they'd never had trouble like that. And then I moved in this apartment, and I listened to a lot of the internet radio shows. I mean, it's so interesting, it's fascinating, you know. And it just has blocked that whole thing, and has blocked my work with the Canadian Action Party, made it difficult. And these things seem to happen, just like my house burnt down, you know, the day after I wrote a letter that led to the resignation of the head of the Canadian Action Party. You know, and next morning my house is burning down around me. So these things are curious.
Hmm. Yeah, anyway, that doesn't sound like that was an accident.
Well, they say it was electrical, but it's curious, and I like not to think there was more to it. So,
well,
I hope soon to be back on the internet, and I'll be back listening to your shows, and hopefully I'll be able to call in sometimes. Thanks a lot for having me.
Well, I wish you luck, and you're going to be on the show on the 25th of this month, so I look forward to that.
Yeah, great.
So, okay, you take care, and it's been great having you on the show. I like to hear your point of view, and I'm sure the listening audience enjoyed your talk as well.
Thanks, Tom. Goodbye.
Okay, folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, and our special guest, Christopher Holmes, Ph.D., and be sure to tune in to Zero Point on Saturday afternoons on bbsradio.com. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, And I'd like to thank everyone from Wind Talkers Radio Network and blogtalkradio.com for carrying the show around the world. To the listening audience, I wish you a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.